Hey, we're back here. It's downtown, 13 minutes past 5 o'clock, the home stretch on a Wednesday afternoon. Rich Kimble here, along with Bruce Pratt. Our next guest has done it all. NFL scout, executive, general manager of the Patriots, legendary broadcaster, author with Ron Borges of the wonderful book Present at the Creation, and quite simply, one of our favorite people to talk to, Upton Bell, joining us. Hello there, Upton.
You only forgot one other title. Curator of mammals. It's the latest. Happy New Year to both of you and your audience, and great to be with you.
Always great to have you with us, Upton. I was telling Bruce you did a pretty solid Merrick Garland impression there before we put you on the air.
Thank you very much, my fellow Americans. I believe that somewhere along the line, we will catch up with Donald Trump. But not in my lifetime. Oh, my God, spare us.
Interesting times we live in. Well, listen, whenever you come on the show, I like to just turn things over to you because I could have some things planned, but I want to know what's on your mind, Upton.
Well, first and foremost, let me just say the grand experiment for mucho dollars of the 17th game being added to the NFL schedule is pure skullduggery. And many reasons why. I understand the bottom line, the NFL, like all sports, is money. But what has happened here, and I'll take you all the way back to what has happened to players. The bottom line is an extra added game, more playoffs, possibly a Monday night game. The coffers will be filled for the network and for the owners. And look, I have no problem with people making money. But who are the biggest stiffs in this whole thing? The people who actually play the game. The player. I mean, it's bad enough with 16 games. The injuries pile up. The injuries not only pile up, now we've got COVID. Now we've got, we see by the 17th game, going into this weekend, how many people are really on that are really legitimate first stringers are on each team's roster? How many players and teams will go into the playoffs, a la Derrick Henry, maybe, without their best player? What did we see this last year? And by the way, I understand that the public, the team players, all of the fantastic people who play fantasy football, they could care less. And I perfectly understand it, and I could care less about them. But on the other hand, the one people who really get hurt are the players. The season is too long. The injuries are incredible.
Well, look at what happened with young Baker Mayfield, who had a horrible game and now is out and will miss the finale, and who knows what his future is.
Well, he's one of the many guys, one of the many people that who knows what will happen to his career. How many people have had the endings of their career by the middle of the season? I say this. I've never seen so much bad football. And I've got three sets now, and I'll soon be adding, I was shooting for a 100-inch set, not because I'm going blind, but because I want to get the full feel of this of these scrums that I watch now. But what you're really seeing is, and you know, the one thing I love about people in Maine, you better be able to prove it. There, it's like Missouri. You better be able to prove to the people in Maine, you really know what the hell you're talking about, and you know it's really a show me state. Well, I can tell you this, Maine, you have been watching, you that watch football, really a lot of minor league games. I mean, and bringing people in, the Eagles, the Washington team, bringing a guy in, you know, that was on the Patriots taxi squad, these and big Monday night games with these people. I mean, it's. If you tried that, if you said, we're going to be doing our show tomorrow and we have 2 13-year-olds, and we'll be taking our place. Don't worry about it, just for a couple of weeks. People will be screaming at Stephen King. They'd be screaming at your station and the sponsors.
I don't know. I know some pretty bright 13-year-olds up to them. Might actually be an improvement.
Listen, by the way, I have nothing against them. That's just their lack of experience. They'd probably be great on TikTok, but not here.
but isn't this just the warm-up, Upton, for what the owners want to eventually do, which is to add an 18th game down the road in a couple of years?
Oh, sure. I mean, this has been going on forever. Now, the difference is this. I knew the game back when it was really a game. I'm not saying it was any better because the players are bigger, stronger, quicker, faster, more intelligent. The coaching today is a lot better, except for what happened in Jacksonville, which I predicted. Of course, I never figured that a guy would go into his own bar and have a striptease. So what we're seeing is slowly but surely more and more and more games, and you'll be seeing more and more and more injuries. And who knows when this pandemic will end. But by the way, I talked to a doctor who's very experienced with the COVID athlete. You know what he told me? Like CTE, you won't know years for years later. Like Jason Tatum of the Celtics, this is the second time he's had it.
Right.
You don't know down the line what that's going to do to your brain and to your body. So the collateral damage hasn't been reported yet, but there are so many things going on here. But the cynicism is really amazing to me. Now, at one time, there were owners, certainly they're always looking for a profit. But their owners have really cared about the sport, and therefore they had some consideration about their players. And I'm not saying that there aren't owners around today, although most of them now fly into the games on their helicopters and fly out. And so what I really see is the players are the only people that are paying the penalty. You and I aren't paying it. The TV audience isn't paying it. The coaches really aren't paying it. Certainly the owners aren't. Who are the suckers here?
Oh, there's no question.
I have heard more stories, I can tell you. Take this to the bank. I've heard more stories about players telling other players and other people they don't want to play this 17th game. They are mentally exhausted. They are basically, you know, just want to get through it. What type of league is this? And I'm not saying, listen, pretty soon, if I'm still alive 5 or 10 years from now, I'll be reporting that the NFL has decided in a tribute to the Indiana High School Tournament that all 32 teams will make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And like the NBA and like the NHL, everybody makes it. We got to take care of everybody, and most importantly, our sponsors and the networks. So where along the line will somebody say, "You know what? I'm tired of it. I'm getting Monday night. I'm getting Thursday night. I'm getting Sunday afternoon. I'm getting Sunday night." So far, so good. There's plenty of people out there.
It's true, although I don't know if it can last forever. You have to think at some point there'll be some oversaturation, right, Bruce?
I would think so. And you know, Upton, you said something a while back that really just hit me right between the eyes. Look at Trevor Lawrence, who has obviously not been coached at all this year. A kid that came out of college with all the talent in the world, right?
He goes
He goes to Jacksonville. He absolutely sputters. He looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. And we know it's not the kid, right? I mean, he's clearly in a place where he's overmatched. How long do you think it's going to be till we see more and more of that across professional football, where it's just bringing these talented kids, they're all kinds of athletes, and just see how it plays out? Because I don't think the public really cares. I mean, if the Patriots win, Patriots fans are happy. If the Patriots were lousy and they won, they'd still be happy.
Well, there's no question you make a good point. Now, See, I say this. If you ask me to handicap the NFL or other organizations, other sports, if you say to me, Shad Khan, I say to you, no way. If you say to me, Bob Kraft, even though I have disagreements about certain things he's done, I say you got a chance. If you say, everybody kind of tries to make fun of Jim Irsay in Indianapolis, they always win.
Mm-hmm.
They're
yeah.
always in the mix. You can say what you want personally. Show me the owner, and I'll tell you where you're going. As bad as Jerry Jones is, you know, the ego wants to be the general manager, the owner, everything. They're always in the mix. How about the Giants? Never in the mix. Lately, and yet they go back to the old owners. I mean, John Mara should know better. So, yeah. I mean, show me the owner. I'll tell you how good the team's going to be. Shad Khan, what's he do with Jacksonville? I think that kid's a transcendent talent, but who knows if he's going to survive injury and how bad they are. But he fires the coach, which he should have never hired. And what's he do? He keeps the general manager who did a terrible job.
Yeah.
So what coach is going to come in there and do it? I mean, there's stories like this all over the NFL. But one of the things that my father saw years ago, back in the 40s, back in the 30s when he was suffering with the Eagles, and then later he and Art Rooney with the Steelers, he would say, and I'd listen to his phone calls, and he would say, you know, the biggest thing we have is television's going to be the future of this game. It's the one game that's perfect for television. And it satisfies everything Americans want. They, you know, they want win. They want heroes, but they love their violence. And they do. And let's face it, people go to that just like they go to boxing matches to see people kill each other. But there's a certain beauty in some ways to football. There's great artistry. They're great artists, these players. But what has happened, again, is the games, all the things that he brought into it, Bert Bell, television, sudden death, the waiver wire, the player pension plan. Everywhere you look in the NFL, even today, there's a touch and hand of Bert Bell. And why? Because he first and foremost saw, as a player in college, that what it was like to be a quarterback, what it was like to take a beating. My father, I never knew my father with teeth. You know, he had all his teeth knocked out in college, his nose broken twice. And basically, he thought, and his genius was, he thought as a player first.
Right.
What's good for the player? What's good for the game? Finally, what's good for the owner? And because he thought that way, the league was run in a completely different way.
We're talking with Upton Bell here on Downtown. Upton, can you put on your talent evaluator hat for a moment? Because I know in Boston sports media, there's no middle ground that Mac Jones was either going to be the greatest quarterback of all time or the worst. But how do you think he has overall performed? What's his prospectus for the years ahead?
Well, first of all, I'd say, number one, and I would say this as a former scout and personnel director. School's still out. But right now, I like what he's done. I like the pressure that he's lived with. I like the way he's grown up. Now, look, the best thing going for him is that he was coached by a Belichick coach team who knew and knows how to bring quarterbacks and people along. If he was in Jacksonville, I'd say no chance. He's out of the league next year. Or some of these other dreadful places. But I would say this, intelligence-wise, he's ahead of most rookies that come into the game. Ironically, Brady was ahead of a lot of people. My only question with him is, down the line, can he physically make the throws into those tight windows with real zip on the ball? And if you watch even Brady now at age 44, I think he's throwing better today than he did 5 years ago. I mean, it's just really amazing. And he's a guy that came in that was a good short thrower, not particularly a good deep thrower. But unless you can throw those 20-yard outs on a rope and you can fit that ball inside between the linebackers or the defensive backs, and you can really put zip on it, and sooner or later you're going to be a problem. You're going to have to build a running game around it. I'm not sure of that yet. He makes some wonderful throws. But on the other hand, and the coaches could essentially be, you know, just basically, you know, bringing him along very slowly, which I understand. So what I would say is this. I like his intelligence. You see the up and downs of particularly the last 2 or 3 weeks, not this past week. But school's still out till we see as he matures next year. Can he make, when they take the training wheels off, can he fit those in? Because today, the way defenses play and the speed of the players and the speed of the game, if you can't zip it in there, look at the big difference when they played Buffalo.
Right.
That guy has got Josh Allen. You can say what you want about him mentally. He has got otherworldly talent. I think of Marino. I think of Elway. There's a few others that I've seen over a career. Going all the way back to Sammy Ball back in the 40s, that guy can put a ball in anywhere, at any moment. He also is a tremendous runner.
Yeah.
I mean, they have no running game. And yet, a guy like that, as they bring him along, he's got the perfect coach for it in some ways. His offensive coordinator, who was here,
right.
Is that are you ever going to see that? No. Does Mac Jones have the arm of Trevor Lawrence? No. Does he have the arm of two or three of Joe Burrow? No. God, do I love him too.
Mm.
You look at the young quarterbacks that have come into the game right now. Even Justin Fields, who doesn't look like he knows what the hell he's doing. Every one of them that came in, with the exception of our quarterback, has a gun. It's incredible. These kids that are coming in today, they're used to throwing out what I still call it, the shotgun, in college, are amazing. I mean, they've been throwing, you know, 7-on-7, 8-on-8 since they've been in grade school.
Right.
These kids. So, mentally, the right coach around him, a team that's being built right now, I check all of those. Good check, Mark.
Upton, what's the status of the Upton Bell collection at the University of Massachusetts?
It keeps growing. And in fact, as you and I discussed, because you had the great Sidney Blumenthal on your show, I've gotten more people that are interested about the Bell side of the family and going all the way back to my grandfather and my great-grandfather, Leonard Myers, who basically was one of Abraham Lincoln's best friends. And with Sidney and we have found letters between both of them, and also his friendship with Ulysses Grant and John Garfield. Of course, I wouldn't want that because he got shot. but it just keeps growing. We have 142 items. And by the way, later this year, and hopefully we can talk about it on your show, there'll be over 500 authors in my other collection, UMass Lowell of authors and great writers, 500 of them. From over the last 40 years of my interviews, and every book is inscribed with stories that are incredible. So that hasn't even come out yet.
Well, I can't wait to see it and get a chance to get down there. And by the way, big thanks, Upton. You mentioned Sidney Blumenthal. Thanks so much for getting us together with him, with the great Morton Dean, and so many others you've helped us with through the years.
Well, I do want to say, by the way, your owner, Stephen King, he's got 3 of his books in there, and one of the books in it, how could you be honored like? People said, what's the greatest honor you ever had? I said, Stephen King putting me in his movie and in his book. And of course, the character that I play in his book, The Storm of the Century, that was a movie on TV, is he has Upton Bell playing a fat, bald, drunken sheriff. What else can you do in life?
That's a dream role right there.
It's a dream role. I mean, what a character actor, right? But he's just an example of the great writers that will be unveiled later this year in this collection at UMass Lowell.
So, excellent. Well, we'll have you back on to talk more about that. I look forward to it, as always. Upton, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. We love following you on Twitter and getting your take on the world, and always love it when you pay a visit with us.
Can I whisper in Merrick Garland terms, thank you.
Thank you, Upton. Be well, my friend.
Thank you. Bye.
The great Upton Bell with us here.